Amen. I'm glad we can say that same report. Amen. All right, look in your Bibles to the book of Romans today, Romans chapter 3. And I thank the Lord for His goodness. I'm glad to be saved, a part of the family of God today. Amen. And if you're not, you can be before you leave this place today. And I thank Him and I praise Him today. Romans chapter 3, you're will and able to stand this morning. I'm reading just verse number 23. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. This has been on my heart since about Tuesday about preaching this message this morning. And I want to be obedient to preach what God's laid upon our heart. I've been in my own personal study, studying the book of Romans, and encourage you to do the same thing. You want to know about the doctrines of the Bible, the book of Romans will help you. You want to know how to live for God, read the book of Romans as well. A powerful book. And I help you, amen, and help me, and I'm glad for the word of God today. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity that you've given us one more time this side of heaven to assemble in your house, sing the good song of Zion. And Lord, I'm glad as we've sung this morning, it sure is good to be saved. Lord, I have no bad tale to tell this congregation, for it is a joy, it is gladness to my heart, and to be saved, to be a part of the family of God. Lord, we ask you now as we look in your word. Lord, you know my heart this morning better than I know my own heart. And I pray today you touch me by the good Holy Ghost to preach. I ask you to open up the understanding of those who are listening today. Lord, I cannot do anything in the heart, but Lord, you can. Lord, that's your place of business. That's where you do the great transaction. And I ask you today to convict sinners and draw them to yourself, and they'll be saved by your marvelous grace. Help us as your people. Lord, we ask you to remove anything, God, that would distract, would try to captivate our attention away from your word. Oh, Lord, may your word, may your spirit have freedom to work, and all you do will praise you and will thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Again, the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm going to preach this morning, the Lord have been my helper on this subject of the doctrine of sin. The doctrine of sin. We live in a day where you'll hear folk in the religious world saying, don't preach doctrine. Well, there's a problem with that. The Bible said to preach doctrine. Amen. We are to preach the word. And we're going to look at this doctrine of sin this morning in great detail and try to preach as God directs our heart. Now, I'll give you the facts of the word of God, but it'll take the Spirit of God to quicken it to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. There's nobody here ever saved anybody else. Amen. You've never convinced anybody about getting saved. You sowed seed, you watered that seed, but it is God that gives the increase. If He doesn't enlighten the heart, a person will never see their need of salvation. He don't enlighten the heart, they'll never call on the Lord for salvation. He does the heart work. Amen. Well, we're in a day. Now I'll say this. They don't like loud preaching. They don't like doctrinal preaching. They don't want preaching against sin. They don't want preaching about nothing. They just want a little love story, a little something sweet, and tide them over to the next week or the next month, whichever it is, when they decide to come back to church. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, this Bible's the Word of God. And He told preachers to preach the Word. Amen. I'm going to give you what the Bible has to say on the subject of sin this morning. This doctrine of sin, first of all, I'll look at the explanation of sin. Or in other words, what is sin? Boy, this generation ain't got a clue, seems like. Seems like you're meeting more and more folk that don't know what sin is. Matter of fact, this generation don't think anything's sin. Amen. Why, it's just the way you look at it. That's what they say. They talk about all this gray area. But it ain't a lot of gray area nowhere. Matter of fact, it's what the book says or it's wrong. Amen. And what is sin? How do you explain sin, preacher? Well, sin is this, and listen to me. It's anything contrary to the revealed will of God, whether it's sins of commission or sins of omission. Amen. It is an act of disobedience to God's holy law. It is breaking God's law. It is missing the mark of moral purity. It is falling short of God's glory, as our text said. It is to err from truth. It is to pervert, to make crooked, and to stray, to rebel against authority, lawlessness. It is also failing to do what you know is right. Amen. It is unbelief. Amen. Hey, that's pretty clear what sin is. There ain't no gray area in that. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. We sin daily. Amen. We find out in the Bible, in the book of 1 John, I've thought about this, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. We are breaking God's law daily. Sin is an epidemic, and I want to stress this too, sin is against God. All sin is against God. We've offended God. Amen. Hey, it's bad to offend one another, to sin against one another, and we do that. But I'm going to tell you, all sin is against God. You have offended God. Everybody, look at me. Everybody in this building, you've offended God. Your sin has separated you from God. Amen. Hey, without Christ, we're lost. Amen. It ain't that we've got so good. Hello. It's that we got in Him. Amen. Hey, we see this explanation. What is sin? It is the transgression of the law. It's not doing what we know, that which is right. Well, secondly, let me look for a minute. I won't preach till I'm done. You just hang with me. I'll look secondly at the entrance of sin. In other words, when did sin get in the human race? When did sin enter this old world? Is it something new in the modern day? Or has it been from the garden? Ladies and gentlemen, we find the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Hey, with Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis chapter number 3, we find sin's entrance into the human race. Now, I want to say something to our young people just a minute. I've heard some of you make this statement. My environment is bringing me down. Well, I want to tell you something. There is some truth to that, but it ain't all truth. Because Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment. Hello. Nobody ever sinned before. That's right. It was holy. It was righteous. It was created right and well. After every day, God was pleased with what He did. Do you realize in Genesis 1, you never find God saying, oops. I didn't do that at my best. No. So it's a perfect environment that Adam and Eve are in. But sin entered that environment through Adam and Eve because they yielded to sin. Amen. We find the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, but I fear lest any by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Hey, in a perfect environment, they were tempted with sin by Satan, and they yielded to that sin. Hello. Amen. So don't just talk to me about your environment. Amen. The environment's worse, yes, because of man's sin. Amen. It came through Adam and Eve. Now I want you to listen to something right here. Not only see the explanation of sin, the entrance of sin, but I'll look at the extent of sin just a minute. In other words, who has sinned? Who is a sinner? Brother Jerry and these go out door knocking and visiting, and you'll knock on the door, and you don't find hardly anybody in these days that'll come to the door. We're from the Gateway Baptist Church, talk folk about the Lord. Well, what are you saying? You're going to find very few people say, no, I'm lost. Because most people don't think they've done anything wrong. They don't think they're really that bad. Hello, some of you right here this morning, you don't drink liquor, you don't use drugs, you've never murdered anybody, you must be okay. But you're not okay. Amen. What is a sinner? Who is a sinner? Who has sinned? I'm going to tell you according to our text, everybody. For the Bible said, that's all I'm giving you. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word all, put it in any language. Hebrew, Greek, English, French, Russian, German, it'll mean the same thing. It's everybody. There is no exemption. You have sinned against God today. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hey, it's very plain, isn't it? All have sinned. Somebody, this crowd that believes there's a crowd, got no choice about going to heaven, no choice going to hell. They crazy. We're all in the same boat. We're born sinners. Yes, born with a sin nature. I was born with a sin nature. You know nobody taught us to sin. Your mama didn't sit down and say, Junior, this is how you sin. I'm going to give you lesson 101. She didn't do that, did she? You just knew it from your own self. Amen. Oh, yeah, nod your little heads like this. Amen. It's in us. We are born lost. We're sinners. Amen. Oh, friend, it does include you. Whether you think not or not, whatever you want to think, it includes you this morning. The Bible said in 1 Kings 8, and there in verse 46, there is no man that sinneth not. What about that? He said also in the book of Ecclesiastes, I want to look at that verse just a minute. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. It sounds pretty clear to me. What about you? We're all sinners. Amen. Oh, the Bible said there in the book of 1 John, chapter 1 and verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Don't come around and say, I don't sin. Because you've lied to start with. Amen. That Bible verse, it ain't, well, except, no, there ain't no accepting that verse. I get real tired of folk interjecting, don't you? Their thought into God's word. There ain't no need. It's very plain. You sin.
And if you say you don't, you're lying. It's pretty plain in that verse. Amen. Oh, friend, we find in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law said, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Hey, we're guilty. Amen. The book of James, I thought about this verse. James chapter number 2 and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You can't keep 90%. It's 100 or nothing. Amen. And God said you break it in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. Amen. Hey, I'm preaching what God put on my heart. I'm telling you something, I'm concerned about folk in these days. They need to be confronted with the fact they are a sinner. Amen. It's not being unchurched. I've heard that statement, I want to gag. I mean that. It ain't about being a seeker-friendly church. It's being a Savior-sensitive church. Amen. It ain't making the church like the world that they need. They need to be confronted with the facts of this thing, that we're sinners without God, hopelessly lost, except we get born again. Amen. Oh, friend, we see that the extent of sin, it reaches everybody. Whether country or background or whatever, we're sinners. Amen. We see the explanation of sin, the entrance of sin, the extent of sin. Let's look forthly this morning at the effects of sin. Or in other words, what sin will do. What's it doing in your life? Now, I will say something right here. Nothing good has ever come out of sin. Nothing. You say, what I'm doing ain't bad. I'm doing pretty good with what I'm doing. Oh, you ain't reached the end of it yet. Amen. You see, sin does affect. It does some things. Let me say, first of all, it deceives. Just as we read there in 2 Corinthians 11:3, how the serpent beguiled thee to seduce, to deceive, how to entice, how to catch by bait. That's what sin does to us. It's like a fishing lure, sin is. And then it gets up around you and gets your attention. Amen. Well, that fish don't know there's a hook on that. He wouldn't go after it. If he really knew his life's in danger, I don't think a fish would go after it. You know what, you wouldn't either if you really, when you think about sin enticing you, you wouldn't take off after it. But the problem is sin is deceptive. Oh, one time won't hurt. Hello? Oh, that it's affecting everybody. It won't affect you the same way. Oh, yeah. Oh, so-and-so, well, they couldn't handle it. But you're a better person. You're stronger than them. You know more than they do. You'll be okay. Hello. Sin's very deceptive. It'll deceive preachers, church members, folk that ain't never heard the truth. It's deceptive. Amen. Oh, friend, we find that they were deceived in Genesis 3. Oh, you become as gods if you take up this fruit. Oh, deception at work. Hey, we find that not only it deceives, but it defiles. The leper in the Bible, leprosy is a type of sin. If a man found out he had leprosy, it separated him from everybody. It made him unclean. It defiled him. He couldn't go to the temple. That's right. He wasn't even supposed to come into town. his on the outskirt, and he had to cover his lip and holler, unclean, unclean, unclean. Amen. Hey, it'll defile you. Oh, I know you don't think it. Oh, it done has. Amen. It's already defiled you. Hey, not only it defiles, but hey, it disquiets. You say, what in the world do you mean by that, preacher? In other words, there's no peace. There's this continual turmoil in the heart of the sinner. How do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us that. The Bible said in Isaiah 57, verse 20 and 21, listen to this. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Hey, the Bible said in chapter 3 of Romans, hey, look at this, and verse 17, and the way of peace have they not known. A lost man knows nothing about peace. I remember when I was lost. Listen, I remember when the Holy Ghost let me know I was the sinner. From that moment to the moment I got saved, there was no peace in me. Nothing but constant turmoil. No peace. Hey, some of you know what I'm talking about. I used to pastor years ago in Virginia. His own testimony to me was this. He said, preacher, I was under such deep conviction. I knew I was lost. I had no peace on the inside. He said, I'd get up in the middle of the night, go stand at the sliding glass doors and look out and wish the sun would hurry up and come up, because he's afraid he'd die in his sleep and go to hell. No peace. Amen. Hey, can I tell you, the moment I got saved, peace like a river come flooding through my soul. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there's peace that passes all understanding in the heart of the Christian. That's right. Oh, the sinner, he knows nothing of peace. He don't even know what joy is. Oh, he has happiness, but happiness is based on the happenings of the moment. Don't you think a sinner lasts? They sure do. But no peace. Where do you go as a lost man when trouble comes? Huh? Who do you turn to? You say, I got all kinds of friends. Have they ever gave you peace? You be honest. No, they ain't never gave you peace. Amen. But as a child of God, when the storms of life have been raging, I can run to the Lord Jesus Christ and he whispers sweet peace to my soul. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, sin, it just causes all kinds of turmoil. It disquiets. Let me say this also. It destroys. Countless lives have been destroyed by sin. Again, nothing good is produced by sin. Nothing. Amen. It destroys your health, your mind, your body, your family, and everybody else around you. Oh, preacher, I don't destroy. Tell that to the family whose loved one died because somebody was drunk and driving. Tell them about that their sin didn't affect nobody else. Amen. Oh, friend, today, it destroys, young people, it'll destroy everything about you. You look at the pictures of people that's on meth before and after. Beautiful, and then turned out awful looking. Why? Sin destroys. Amen. Oh, hey, I know to the world, I ought not be preaching this. To the world, they want nothing to do with it. I'm telling you what, it's the message that warns folk to flee the wrath to come. Amen. Hey, it not only destroys, but listen to this, it brings forth death. The Bible says again, oh, you say, I don't care what the Bible says, you better care. Because that's one of the books going to judge you one day. He said the books, Revelation 20, there's more than one book going to be, one of them's the Bible. The Bible said, James chapter 1, verse 14, 15, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's what the Bible says. Death is in the pot. Amen. Are you listening to the preacher today? Death is ahead. Romans 6, 23, still in the Bible. For the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18, verse 4 and verse 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the Bible. Death. Physical death, yes. Eternal death, absolutely. The second death. Oh, friend. Listen to me, the lake of fire, eternal punishment because you didn't get right with God. For you see, it also dooms. The Bible declares in Isaiah chapter number 59 and verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. Again, let me just read you the text in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hey, that's what they're singing about that record book a while ago. I'm glad my name's in the record book. Now, there's a crowd wants to argue out when it got put there. I don't know that part. I can tell you when I found out. Amen. 31 years ago. Amen. You say that makes me nervous. Not me. I know my name's there. Amen. I know who put it there, and I know the way it got there. Amen. It wasn't by works of righteousness, but it's by his grace. Amen. Hey, we find the effects of sin. Let me look fifthly at the expiation of sin, or in other words, what can be done about my sin. That word expiation there means the act of making satisfaction or atonement for a crime, fault, or sin. You see, ladies and gentlemen, hear me well, sin must be punished. It has to be punished. Why is that? 1 Peter 1:16, God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Apart from Christ, you're unholy. Sin has to be dealt with. He had warned them in the garden, not partake of that tree. They can eat everything, don't take of that particular tree, good and evil. You listening to me? Now, he never told them they couldn't touch that tree of life. You go read it. But that good and evil tree, they're supposed to leave it alone. And they took of it. He done warned them, you'll die. You say, well, they didn't die that day, began dying. Their spirit died instantly. You hear me? Ephesians 2, you're dead, trespassing sin. That happened in the garden for all men. Amen. Oh, friend, there must be punishment for sin. It's not going unpunished. Hello. Oh, yeah. You see, not only that, but sin, the sin debt must be paid. He said there in Leviticus, way back with the animal sacrifices, Leviticus 17, 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Hey, the Bible declares in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 9, boy, you talk about a great chapter on the payment of sin. See, Brother Paul, and that's who I think was the author of the book of Hebrews. You can believe otherwise, that's your choice. But I believe as he's writing these Hebrews, he is letting them know the way of salvation. He let them know that Christ paid that debt. He said in Hebrews 9:22, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Verse 12 said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hey. That was the debt of sin being paid, my friend. Some 2,000 years ago, a Christ who knew no sin became sin for us. Amen. He took our sin. He paid our debt and took his blood to the mercy seat in heaven and applied it there. Hey, let me throw something out, let you think about it, let it stir your heart for later. You understand that the Lord gave up the ghost around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's right. In that hour is when they would have slain the sacrifice at the temple and would have took that blood behind that big old curtain, that veil, and would have applied that animal's blood again on the mercy seat. But on that day before that priest could, oh great God in heaven, before he could ever get that blood of that lamb into that bowl and get it behind that veil, Jesus said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The veil in the temple's rent from the top to the bottom. Hey, Christ had done entered in the Holy of Holies in heaven and offered his blood and eternal redemption. Oh, yes. Oh, his blood paid the debt. By the way, his blood didn't dry up. I understand the songs, the blood that stained the old rugged cross. I know what they're trying to say there. For the rhyme's sake, but it didn't stain nothing. Blood can only stain when it dries up. That's right. As long as it's fresh, it ain't, you know, it don't stain. It's there. But as it dries is what's causing the stain. That blood ain't dried up. That blood is still on the mercy seat in heaven, saying the way's been made. If you'll come by Christ, your sin debt can be paid, can be washed away. Amen. Hey, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, friend, I'm telling you today, there is a remedy for sin. You can have your sin debt forgiven. Amen. By the way, that's why folk go to hell. They didn't get their sin forgiven. They didn't turn to Christ for salvation. You say, preacher, they're going to hell for what they do. No, they're doing what they're doing because who they are. I'm going to say it again. They're doing what they're doing because who they are. Sinners. Amen. See, there's a new man in me that won't ever sin on the inside. You hear me? This old flesh is a hard thing to deal with, but that inside man's perfect. Amen. Oh, you say, preacher, we'll deal with that another day. I'm telling you, it's true. Amen. Hey, you can have your sins forgiven, but it's only through Jesus Christ. I want to read this, and I'm done. But Tim shot me a text this morning, and we do that with our personal devotion. Something blesses. We'll write it down, send it to the other one or something. And he sent me. He didn't know what I was preaching this morning. I don't reckon. Well, I didn't tell him. Here's the quote he sent to me, and I thought, "Thank you, Lord." I knew you told him to preach it anyhow, but it is nice he does something extra with it. And then all that singing. Do you notice all that? Salvation, debt, but then being paid. I don't think that's a coincidence. That's God setting a whole atmosphere for his precious word. Amen. Aren't you glad God divinely arranged the atmosphere for you the day you got saved? And don't let that make you nervous. He's just God. Amen. Here's the quote he sent me. It was from Billy Sunday. Here's what Billy Sunday said about sin. He said, one reason sin flourishes is that it's treated like a cream puff instead of like a rattlesnake. That's what's happening. The average modern church today is getting whitewashed. Oh, it's just you're a victim of your environment. If you would just change a few things, you'd be okay. That's cream puffing it. I preached about a rattlesnake that's going to bite and kill and it's done bit you. You're just as they were in the Old Testament. When they began to murmur and complain, God sent them serpents out. And they were bit and they were dying. But God told Moses, put you a brazen serpent on a pole and you raise it up. And if they'll look, they can live. You know what God sent me by to tell you today? You're bit. But if you'll look toward him, you can live. Oh, I'm glad whosoever will, let him come. Amen. Hey, if it wasn't whosoever will, I'd been left out. I guarantee you I'd been left out. I ain't never been on the side that got all of was grand and glory. I ain't never been there. But thank God he included me and he included you this morning. Father, take the message. Oh, God, seal it to our heart. Lord, I pray for that one that's lost this morning. May this be the day, may this be the hour that they'd come to you and be saved. Lord, we're so glad for the free gift of God. Lord, we don't deserve it. We've not earned it. We sure don't merit it. But freely, you've offered it to us, and I thank you for it. Help now in the invitation time. We'll praise you and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, heads bowed and eyes closed. I've tried my best to preach exactly what the Lord told me to preach in the days of this past week for this very morning. And I know this. He ain't sending that message just to beat the air. Sure could be somebody watching by internet loss, could be. But I believe someone's sitting right here this morning, lost. God, through his word, by his spirit, has revealed to you your lost condition. You know if death would seize you today, you'd lift your eyes in hell being in torment. Jesus would come today, you would be left behind. But here's the good news. You don't have to go that way. You can be saved this morning. You can have your sins forgiven and know all is well between you and the Lord. Is there someone here with a raised hand, preacher? I am lost. Pray for me today. I'm lost. I see that young hand. Somebody else, preacher, I'm lost. Now, we're not talking about you being religious, joining the church, or being baptized. We're talking about the fact you're lost. I see that young hand. I do not believe in the age of accountability, but I believe in the knowledge of accountability. Because that can be a young age or it could be an older age. But God's in control of that. And if God, the Holy Ghost, this morning has showed you your loss, you could be saved right here today if you'd come to him. He wants to save you. He desires to save you. I want us to stand. There's folk praying. You may need to come as well. You may be burdened over a loved one. I'd come pray for them. If you're not saved, come. I'd love to take this Bible, show you how to be born again. What a joy, because you can't. You can have your sin forgiven by falling before God, saying, God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. I'm deserving of hell. But I want you to save me. I'm turning from my sin self, turning to you. It could happen to you this very morning if you'd just do it while we sing.